was read, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm not sure if O'Neill had read from verse 16, 17, or 18. Read a few more verses for me, Brother Fisher.
Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me in this night." And he said unto him, "Stay on, stay on." And Samuel said, "When thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Ahab, the king of
the passage, though we're well acquainted with the passage, we have listened to lesson from this passage so many times, but I'm struck with, while God's spokesperson, the prophet Samuel, is saying to Saul, why did you not obey God's voice? Saul is responding right then and there, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And it strikes me how we can be going against God's will and yet be convinced that we are following his will. So, we look on the subject, to obey is better than. Let us hear verse 22.
And Samuel said, the Lord has great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
That's another part of the passage that, you know, if you are not careful, it gives you the wrong idea. Because the question is so asked as to imply that God does not have any interest in sacrifice and offering. Yet God has interest in sacrifice and offering. But this most likely will be a two-part lesson, and we will get to that other important part probably next week. The background to God's plain directive found in the passage under consideration, that is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2, 3, and 4, but especially 2 and 3. That's the background to the mission is found in those passages, and of course also found in the book of Exodus chapter 17. But Brother Mitchell, Exodus chapter 17 is some 400 years before. Yes, but that's where the seed was sown for the directive which the Almighty God gave Saul in verse 3 and 4. Let me hear verse 2, 3, and 4. 2, 3, and 4.
This
is what the Lord of hosts says. Wait. I have just told you that the instruction given to King Saul in verse 4, 5, or somewhere about there, is to be found in what is about to be related in verse 2 and 3. Thus saith the Lord. Read, brother. Yes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Wait. I remember what Amalek did to Israel. How
he laid
the Amalekites laid wait for Israel when Israel just left Egypt. The Amalekites set out to literally wipe the Israelite from off the map. Read a little more, brother.
Verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have.
In other words, God is commissioning King Saul. But the Almighty God is helping King Saul to understand that the Almighty God had a 400 years issue to be settled with the Amalekites. Did I say 400 years? Yes, because we are about in 1 Samuel 15, we are about 970 B.C. That is in 1 Samuel chapter 15. That was about 970 years before Christ. But then in Exodus chapter 17, where the Amalekites came to wipe out Israel, that was just about 1,400 B.C. So you have a 400-year span. Wait. You have the Almighty God have something against the Amalekites that span back to 400 years ago. Oh, God, me then also your memory is so good. It's that good. God's memory is that good. So this is where the background of the instruction to Samuel directive is found. When Israel left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, entered the wilderness, and Amalek, we will hopefully be looking at that passage in the passage of Exodus chapter 17. But when Israel left Egypt, on and off, the Amalekites became a threat, an obstacle to the Israelites. We see hint of this in Exodus. We see hint of this in Numbers. We see hint of this in Deuteronomy. We see hint of this in Judges. Right along the Amalekites. It's not so much that they felt threatened. That was only by Israel. That was only part of it. They really wanted to get rid of Israel once and for all. The instruction given by God to King Saul was a straightforward instruction. It was a plain instruction. It was an instruction easy to be understood. Listen it again. Let us hear.
Verse 3. No, go and smite and utterly destroy all that they have.
I understand that.
And spirit.
And I'm sure you understand. Go and smite and utterly, that means completely destroy
all that they have.
All that the Amalekites had. Read on.
And spare them not.
Spear them not.
But slay both man.
Wait, listen now, God is making sure you don't miss out on the details, Saul. Remember, Saul was Israel's king.
But slay both man and woman.
Wait, women too?
Infant.
Wait. The Almighty God wanted to wipe out the Amalekites. Brother Mitchell, you sure? Yes. I'd forgotten to remind you that should you have questions, as usual, in reference to anything, preach from this pulpit, we are glad. In fact, we appreciate your questions. And you can always come to the night service and write your question, turn it over to one of the brother, or we'll let you bring the mic to where you are seated if you indicate to us that you have a question or a comment. Yes. But Brother Mitchell, you mean women too? And children? Let's listen God some more.
But slay both man and woman. Infant.
Infant.
And suckling.
Wait. Does and breast.
Ox and sheep.
Camel and dumb ass. Animal.
Ox and sheep. Camel and ass.
That's right. Now, I understand that instruction, and I believe King Saul did. So this was God's instruction to Saul, and remember I gave you a background. We will probably be reading one or two verses of when the Amalekites attacked the Israelite when Israel just left Egypt, and always remember that passage is a most interesting passage. The passage where the Amalekites attack Israel, trying to wipe them out. I always find that passage interesting, enlightening, because it reveals so much to me. It opened my eyes to so much about the importance of any condition that God set. That passage, we hopefully will be getting there. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, King Saul, in fact, the instruction given, as I've said, was straightforward, it was plain, it was easily understood. King Saul was chosen to be God's instrument of punishment of the Amalekites. He was chosen. May I just drop this by too? Wait, I'd forgotten to point out that Joshua should have done this. That's right. Right along, the Almighty God wanted to get rid of the Amalekites, but Joshua tried but didn't. And then, should I look up what the judge, if they tried to do anything. But brothers and sisters, not only Joshua, when Saul came on the scene, the Almighty God felt that it was a job left undone. So God going to use this king of Israel named King Saul to bring the Amalekites to God's judgment and punishment. Wait. So as I've said, King Saul was God's instrument to punish the Amalekites. The sin of the Amalekites was no light or small sin in God's sight. When I said in the beginning of the lesson that the Amalekites had as their goal and objective to wipe out the Israelites, but it goes farther than that. And that's why it was no light or small sin in the sight of the Almighty God. What the Amalekite wanted to do to wipe away the Israelite, it was that of a deliberate attempt to destroy the people of God and to prevent the realization of salvation in the seed of Abraham. Any way the Amalekite destroyed the Israelite, God's eternal plan to redeem man through Abraham's seed would also be destroyed. God would have to come up with a different plan. It was a serious thing for God that these people, the Amalekites, want to destroy Israel. Amalek crime was most fearful and terrible in God's sight. But the sin of the Amalekites to destroy the race in which God would bring salvation to mankind, that the sin of the Amalekites weighed heavily not only on the mind of the Almighty God, but also on the mind of the Israelite, who God had brought in the picture to understand what Amalek tried to do. In fact, it is appropriate at this point to run to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25:17-19. We are on the point that the sin of the Amalekites to destroy Israel extend beyond just destroying Israel. It extend into God's eternal plan to bring salvation to this world through the seed of Abraham. And that was no small sin for God. So, let us get a little of it. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 through 19. Let us hear it.
Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way.
God had talked to Israel now, you know.
When he were...
Well, take time with me, brother. God is reminding, you see. Did you say God carry that score to settle for 400 years? Yes. When God spoke to King Saul, God had that score to settle with Israel. But here the Almighty God is reminding the Israelite. Is it Numbers or Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy?
Yeah. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way,
uh-huh,
when ye were come forth out of Egypt.
That is when they just left Egypt, you know.
How he met thee by the way.
Wait. You see, the Almighty God is dealing with the Amalekite as if it is one person. How he met thee. He who? That is the Amalekite.
By the way, and smote thee hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble.
The King James, the inmost
of thee.
That is, all the weak, elderly faith who have to be behind. You see, Israel was a big, hundreds of thousands of people were marching from Egypt to the promised land. And the weak and the feeble, they were behind. Oh my God, those are the people and the young ones that Amalek really makes sure he destroys. That when the Bible speaks about the
inmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee.
You all hear it?
When thou was faint and weary.
When you were faint. You know, here are some people marching. Get a little water here and little there, and God have to send food from heaven. It was a terrible time. And it was in their weakness and when they were vulnerable that the Amalekites tried to destroy. Read a little further, brother.
When thou was faint and weary, mm-hmm. and he feared not God.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest
mm-hmm.
from all thine enemies
mm-hmm.
around about.
Mm-hmm. That is the promised land that they are marching to God.
To possess it.
When God give you to possess the promised land.
That thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek.
That's strong language, brother.
From
God
under
said, wait, don't take time with me. God said, you must blot out the Amalekites. It was no small sin. Not just for the Israelite, for God. Wait. As mortal, don't try to interfere with God's plan and purpose. That's terrible sin for God. Are we all there? So, the sin of Amalek was a terrible sin in God's sight and in the sight of the Israelite. But watch here. That the sin of the Amalekites weighed heavily on the mind of God and Israel. A discrimination, watch here now, a discrimination had to be made between Israel, not Israel, between the Amalekites and the Canaanites. When we read it, you'll see what I'm talking about. That is, the Canaanites were also Gentile. The Canaanites also encountered Israel when Israel left Egypt. But they treated the Israelite with kindness. You know, the things that the Almighty God notices, we must be mindful of that. Truly. At the beginning, I put it in a way like I'm pulling your legs about your attitude towards worship. But many of us probably going to be surprised things that may face us, is it in judgment or while we are alive, God caused our conscience to come bothering us in respect to some things that we take lightly but the Almighty God takes seriously? Well, hear the Almighty God. And I like this. We're a discrimination was made in favor
of the Kenites.
To show the Kenites mercy because they were kind
to the Israelite during the Israelite difficult years. Look at it.
In fact, it is right there in the same chapter 15, and I think it is verse 6. Samuel. Second. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 6, right there. I think I have it right.
And Saul said unto the Kenites.
That's right. That's the right
go
passage.
Depart.
Take thy with me, no brother. Saul said to the Kenites.
Go depart. Get you down from among the Amalekites.
Wait. You get it? The Kenites at that time were friendly and bother and mingle with the Amalekites. But Saul had just gotten God's instruction to wipe out the Amalekites. Take time with my brother. And Saul was mindful of the history of the Israelites. Are we there? And remember that the Kenites had shown mercy to Israel when Israel left Egypt, at a time when Israel needs somebody to show them some kindness. So King Saul got words to the Kenites. Say, get you, what him say?
Depart, get you down from among the Amalekites.
That's right.
Lest I destroy
that's
you
right.
with
your
them.
Company, you are with bad company. So get you out from their camp.
Lest I destroy you with them.
King Saul, being God's selected warrior to punish the Amalekites, he said, he's in effect saying, I don't want to destroy you when I destroy the Amalekites. So leave. Read, brother.
For he showed kindness to all the children of Israel.
That is the Kenites showed kindness. You know, I'm always impressed the thing that God notices. That's right. The things that God, the Almighty God, notice how the Israelites pay their taxes to their governor, and they never give the governor a blind sheep. But they'll take that and give it to the priest. The Almighty God on one occasion have to come and to the prophet and said, take that blind sheep to the governor and see if he will accept it. And we must be mindful that God notices everything, that especially those things that have implication for our relationship with God. How the Kenites 400 years before would know that the kindness and the considerateness that they showed to Israel would come up 400 years after to save them. But the point I'm emphasizing with this is the fact that God made this distinction. Are we all there? In favor of the Kenites to show them mercy because they were kind and considerate to God's people at the time that God's people needed somebody be kind and be considerate to them. Amalek's sin was the sin of obstruction. Are we all there? It was the sin of obstructing God's purpose of mercy
for mankind.
The Almighty God had fixed it that in the Israelite nation, Abraham descendant, the Savior of the world would come. God fixed it like that before the world was created. When these people take it upon themselves to wipe out the Israelite, you were, in fact, obstructing God's purpose of mercy for mankind. It is a crime and a sin that God dare not forget even after 400 years. Let me wrap up with a few things here now. There are some very important point to be brought out in this lesson, but will be coming up in the second part. One of the very important things that will be coming up that I term some takeaway. I'll be showing some three to four points coming from the old lesson that demonstrate that there is a limit even to God's divine patience. I said 3 to 4 points to help us understand that there is a limit even to the patience of God. That will be coming up in next week's lesson, if God is willing. But now, could you read for me, Dave? 22 again, verse.
And Samuel said, "Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams."
May I just drop this too? That's a quite interesting passage there, where the Almighty God is comparing two things, and implying that one is not so important. That very important passage that we'll look in and get a better understanding next week. Read it again, Dave.
And Samuel said, "Art the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams."
Among the things, as I wrap up, that the situation that gave rise to the Almighty God beckoning through his servant Samuel to Saul to look at what he had done while much more will be said, but note this: human substitute and human replacement is an encroachment on the wisdom
and on the godness of God. That is human substitute, human replacement, meaning when the Almighty God states what he wants or what he wants done, don't ever feel you can replace what God asks for, or that you can give God substitute and God will be pleased. Don't ever make that mistake. That's one of the terrible mistakes that King Saul made, thinking that human substitute and replacement can take the place of that which God specified. It is an encroachment on God's wisdom and an encroachment on the godness of God. It is sinful. However godly, however holy, and however spiritual it may appear to us. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? There are some things that we do that we have no scriptural authority to do it, but the thing looks so holy, it looks so godly, it looks like God going to give us first prize for it, when there is no Bible for it. I'm thinking of sprinkling for baptism. That's right. That's almost exactly fit into this situation. That's human substitute. That's human replacement for baptism. And the two things don't even resemble. When you read Romans chapter 6 from verse 3, 4, and 5 about baptism and the purpose it served, and when you take sprinkling, sprinkling does not even move from where it was, much more to compete with baptism. And yet there are millions of people all over the world who were told when they are sprinkled, it is good as baptism. Let me beckon to Christian, don't ever let any man or woman who is wrongly led get away with that. Try to see if you can find a person at a point where you can sit down and let the person, that man or woman, understand that that is man-made substitute. That is man-made replacement. And it is always a vexation to God when man thinks that he can bring up something that his imagination produced and it compete with what God has said. To do something that looks like or resembles, that is not obedience. That's a warning to us for us to engage in religious practice or belief that it looks like what I read in the Bible or it resembles. No, brothers and sisters, God no want anything that resembles. He wants us to do what he says. Saul felt he could pay scant regard to what God says, and that he could ignore God's command, and then, what did you say, Brother Mitchell? Yes, felt he could pay scant attention to what God says, and that he could pay scant regard to God's command, and then what he would do to appease God would to offer a mammoth sacrifice. And that the sacrifice he offered, God would be so moved and impressed by the sacrifice
Do you know that's the thing that God addresses? To obey is better than. But Saul felt, if all these nice cow and sheep that we brought back, if we give it to God, God wouldn't even remember what he had said to us. You know, a lot of time we think like that. People today think like they can act so spiritual and so religious that they move God. Brothers and sisters, let us learn. The mistake that Saul made is a warning to us. That Saul thought that he would so impress God with his gift or his sacrifice, which represent a substitute. A substitute of Saul's own choosing. That God would be so impressed and don't even notice his disobedience. That's why he insists, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He really thought he obeyed God because he felt that, my God, look how much coal, look how much sheep we burn on the altar for God. That must move God from where he is. Nothing moves God from where he is, like obeying his word. If you're here today, you can move God. Move God in the sense of he moved to forgive you of your sin when you obey the gospel. Obey it how? Through faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and he is. True repentance from your sin, and you are a sinner. Are you a decent man or woman? Yes, and that is great. But you will die and end up in the eternal hell with your decency. Decency does not remove sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ does that. So you must not only believe, you must repent. You must be willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And having done that, you must be baptized. And do you know what? We have the pool ready right now. And you know another thing? Jesus Christ is also ready. You know what really moved God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit? Obedience. When it is followed by faith. So the Bible speaks of the obedience of faith. Today you can permit your faith to drive you to obey Christ. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we encourage you to come back. And let us look at the second part of this lesson next week, Sunday, God's willing. To obey is better than sacrifice. Saul thought that he could impress God with a substitute of his own mind. But God is never impressed when we have to push his commands one side in order to do our thing. You are here today. Christ brought you here to listen to his word. We are saying to you, upon the truth you have heard, you can become a child of God the Bible's way. As we stand and sing, Christ in grace, in mercy, in love, is saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As we stand. 500.